We're very happy to have Mr. Alan Golfin with us this morning, and we welcome him and look forward to hearing what you have to say to us. Just a couple of notices. The harvest tea on the 2nd of October, there's a list on the back of the wall. If you want to come, if you can please put your name on so we can see what sort of numbers we're going to get. Thank you. The stewards are going to do a coffee morning on Saturday the 25th of September for church funds. So just to let you know ahead on the Saturday, we'll do that. Our offering plate is at the back of the church if anybody needs to put their offering in, and we thank everybody for their offering and all those that give in other ways by bank transfer and other means. And we thank you for that. We'll now say our prayer for today, which is on the top of the notices. Lord, help us to always to trust you in the daily travel through life. Amen. Welcome to worship this morning, and I thank Alan for letting me start off our service this morning. And we're going to sing our introit, number 24, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. Our call to worship. Come to worship to be comforted and disturbed, challenged from our complacency, but also offered forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Come to Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. We now say a gathering prayer together, which will be on the screen. Creative God, you called us into your kingdom and adopted us as your children. Redeeming Saviour, you showed us how to be servants, denying ourselves to serve others. Sustaining Spirit, you give us strength to take up our cross in the service of the kingdom of God. Teach us to serve others, and in doing so, to serve you. Amen. We now say a prayer of adoration. Who are you, Lord Jesus, the shepherd, the servant, the king? Sometimes we see you on the cross, suffering, dying, sometimes teaching on the mount or laughing at the sinner's table. And who are we, Lord Jesus, sheep who follow, disciples who argue and rebuke, listeners hungry for crumbs of righteousness, or sinners who know that we are? Maybe we are all of these things, and you are Jesus the Messiah. We come near to hear your words and follow in your way. Amen. Amen. And a prayer of adoration. Most merciful and graceful God, we offer you our heartfelt love and praise because your Son, Jesus Christ, was willing to risk everything for the whole world, even for us. We come to worship you, earnestly seeking your will for us, however risky that might be. You are worth it. Amen. We now sing our hymn number 563, O Jesus, I Have Promised, and the words will be on the screen. And we now say our prayers of confession together. Who is Jesus? For the times I have been asked this question and have struggled to give an answer.
Lord, hear your
for the times I have been ashamed to acknowledge you. For the times I considered only human concerns and not God's. For the times I saw opportunities to take risks for God, but looked the other way through fear or indecision. For the times I only take the chocolates I like out of your box. Forgive me, Lord, and make me whole, ready to do your good will. Amen. And an assurance of forgiveness. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who took up his cross and died for our sins, the same Jesus who looks on us now with love and intercedes on our behalf. Open our hearts to receive your forgiveness and blessing, Lord. Amen. Amen. And now Heather will come forward for a reading, James chapter 3.
My brothers, not many of you should become teachers, for you may be certain that we who teach shall ourselves be judged with greater strictness. All of us often go wrong. The man who never says a wrong thing is a perfect character, able to bridle his whole being. If we put bits into horses' mouths to make them obey our will, we can direct their whole body. Or think of ships, large they may be, yet even when driven by strong gales, they can be directed by a tiny rudder on whatever course the helmsman chooses. So with the tongue. It is a small member, but it can make huge claims. What a huge stack of timber can be set ablaze by the tiniest spark. And the tongue is in effect a fire. It represents among our members the world with all its wickedness. It pollutes our whole being. It keeps the wheel of our existence red hot, and its flames are fed by hell. Beasts and birds of every kind, creatures that crawl on the ground or swim in the sea, can be subdued and have been subdued by mankind. But no man can subdue the tongue. It is an intractable evil, charged with deadly venom. We use it to sing the praises of our Lord and Father, and we use it to invoke curses upon our fellow men, who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and curses. My brothers, this should not be so. Does a fountain gush with both fresh and brackish water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, yield olives, or a vine figs? No more does salt water yield fresh. Thanks be to God.
Joyce.
this morning, we're going to make a poster called Hashtag Words That Matter. And we're going to put it on the wall and we can add to it as the weeks go by. So at the very top of the poster, if you could put hashtag words that matter, please, would be great. I've thought a lot about words and their power today, but sometimes words are not enough to say what we really want to. Let's have a minute of silence just to be with God, and let us say the words to him in our head that perhaps we're embarrassed to say out loud, or if you just want to sit quietly with God for that minute. Tweet is 140 characters. How few words could we use to describe Jesus to someone who doesn't know anything about him? Whatever words and pictures we use, we can never completely capture the nature of Jesus. It takes time to get to know somebody. How did you get to know your best friends? Through conversation, getting to know what they like to do, doing things together. We can get to know Jesus better in the same way, and then others may then see who he is by knowing us. Jesus is known by other names. A lot of people call him other names than Jesus. Can anybody think of any? Sorry?
Messiah.
Messiah.
Teacher.
Yeah. Could we put those names on the poster, please?
Lord.
Prophet.
Master.
Savior.
Good job, Emma can write quickly. Different words for the same title of Jesus, but they could mean different things to different people. Sometimes words are written in colours. Warm, cool, jealousy, peace, joy, love, anger, sadness. And those colours sometimes, when you see them, remind us of the words. Do any of those suggest prayer or worship? I think peace does, and joy, and love especially. The power of words to change ideas, in particular the power of positive words. Do anybody have examples of words that they have found especially encouraging, loving, meaningful, healing, or even life transforming? Can anybody think of any? No, when I passed my nursing exam, I was told I'd passed. That was a very life-transforming word.
Omnipotent.
Sorry?
Omnipotent.
Yeah. Emma's good at spelling.
Calmness.
Did you hear that one, Emma? Calmness. And I think love is a very a very good word when we talk of Jesus. So we're going to carry on once this is on the wall. If anybody thinks of any words that either are life-affirming to them or to the life of Jesus in their lives, please feel free to put it on the poster and we'll stick it up on the back wall later on. Let us just say a quick prayer. Lord, there are many colours and many words. Help us to worship you in word and deed and full colour. Amen. And you'll have to act as children here and shout out and whisper on here. Let us pray. God, help us to know when to speak. Yes, God. And when we need to be more gentle. Yes, God. Help us to remember that our words are very powerful things and that we need to use them carefully. Amen. Thank you. And we'll now sing our hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Thank you, Lynn, for those beautifully chosen words of prayer and message. Very relevant to the reading this morning. The gospel reading chosen for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. Just adjust me here, Nate. It's Peter's confession of Christ. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others still one of the other prophets." "But what about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called a crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel, he will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." Amen. Sadly, we are still living in an adulterous and sinful generation. Things haven't changed much over 2,000 years. Before the COVID pandemic, you would often see people holding clipboards standing around outside Grace Monument or in the surrounding streets of Newcastle. They will be working for some market research company and will be carrying out opinion polls, asking people questions of their opinions on a wide range and list of topics. In our gospel passage from Mark this morning, we have Jesus carrying out his own market research opinion poll on his disciples, asking them two leading questions. First, he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" Then he challenges them even further, "But who do you say that I am?" It's not easy to put a timeline to the Gospels. The Gospels are not written in a chronological manner, not all the time. You know, they're not like diaries. Matthew blocks together a lot of the teaching of Jesus in what we trained and we were called building blocks when I was training to be a preacher. So, you know, the Gospels are not a chronological daily advance of what happened. But it's believed that this event in Mark's Gospel, it's recorded in the other Gospels as well, is about 14, maybe 18 months after Jesus and the disciples started on their missionary work, ministry work together. And Jesus wants to spend some quality time with his disciples, away from all the crowds that were constantly following them. So it takes them about 25, maybe 30 miles north from the northern shore of Lake Galilee to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Now this was no longer part of what was once the northern kingdom of Israel, the many skirmishes that had taken place with the invasion of Babylonians, Assyrians, and now the Romans. It was quite turmoil and life had changed quite a lot in that area. It was now a place of a worship of Baal, and was a Greek temple there for the worship of the Greek god Pan, and was also a temple for worship of the Roman emperor, because Roman emperors were treated as gods. So it was a place where Jesus hopefully would be able to spend some time with his disciples and not be recognized. But as Jesus nears his destination, he stops and asks the disciples this question: "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples knew their culture well enough to understand what people were saying about Jesus. Most of the people were not entirely sure who Jesus was, but they knew that he was someone different, someone very special. Was he John the Baptist or Elijah, one of your prophets who had been resurrected? They suggested. These may have seemed like sensible answers to their limited understanding, but they were way off the mark. Now, Jesus did not ask this question to gain knowledge for himself. He already knew the hearts and minds of those who were following him and came to him for healing and for teaching. He knew what the people thought. Just as he knows today the hearts and minds of those who claim to follow him, he knows what each one of us is thinking. And that can be scary. But Jesus then pressed further, making it more personal for his disciples, asking them the crunch question: "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter is the only one recorded as responding to this. He is spiritually inspired to recognize that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. He was the Son of the living God. But Peter did not really understand who and what was meant by being the Messiah. He had his own ideas of who the Messiah was to be. As I said, Jesus did not ask his question to gain knowledge for himself. He already knew what was in the hearts and minds of his disciples. And he knows what's in our hearts and minds today. And I believe that he yearns for us to declare our understanding of his personality and of his divinity. He does not want us to be quiet and keep things to ourselves. When Jesus tries to explain to his disciples the suffering and the death that he was going to have to endure, as was predicted in the scriptures. Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him, rejecting what Jesus was saying, and try to impose his own understandings on Jesus. A mistake that many people are guilty of today. Many people just want to put Jesus to be the person that they want him to be. We want to wrap him up like cotton wool, or put him in a chocolate box or a jewellery box somewhere out the way, just to be there when and if and when needed. But of course that is wrongful thinking. Jesus isn't who we want him to be. Jesus is who he is, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It can be challenging for some people when things happen in their lives that they do not understand, especially for many the things that have happened over the last 18 months or so. We can lose sight of who Jesus is and lash out of him, and even, like Simon Peter, rebuke him. I think there's been times in many people's lives, I know there's been times in my own lives, when I've wondered what was happening after 3 bereavements. You can understand. And as many people just like me have had things happen in their lives that we just don't understand. But we will one day when we meet Jesus. The question that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" is, I believe, a question that he asks each and every one of us, everyone who claims to follow him. And the responses, I believe, will be very different and very varied. We each have our own understanding of who God is to us. Our life's experiences can have a great effect on our feelings or not. Many people struggle to answer that question, but there are some good hints to us who Jesus is in our Bibles and in the declarations of many hymn writers. John is a wonderful theological gospel, and John records Jesus giving 7 great descriptions of himself with what are known as the great I Am sayings. In chapter 6, Jesus declares that I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, he declares, I am the light of the world. In chapter 10, he declares, I am the good shepherd, and I am the gate for the sheep. In chapter 11, John records Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And on his way to Gethsemane, Jesus declared, I am the true vine, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except via me. Old Testament writers, like the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, declare the coming of the great Messiah, describing him as being called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of these biblical descriptions and many others, which I haven't quoted, help us to give an understanding of the magnificence of Jesus. And there are some wonderful hymn writers today that are just, to me, many hymns are as good as scripture. Always help to have an understanding of who Jesus is. Wendy Churchill, a modern writer, declares that Jesus is King. And David John Mansell wrote, Jesus is Lord. Charles Wesley wrote of how Jesus was the lover of his soul. And another hymn writer records, Melody Green, declares that Jesus is my Redeemer. A wonderful modern hymn. And a favourite of many people, written by Joseph Medicut Scripton, which we will close our service with, a 19th century writer, looks on as Jesus as being a friend. There are many faiths today that teach a different Jesus to the one that we as Christians worship. Muslims, I believe, understand that Jesus was a prophet, but never the Son of God. Nor do we record that he was crucified on a cross. Hindus believe that Jesus was just one of many millions of gods. Buddhists, according to Dalai Lama, I believe, declare that Jesus is a model of a spiritual nature, good and a warm-hearted person, but not a deity, not a God, son of a creator. Jews believe that Jesus was a prophet and teacher, but definitely not God or from God. Mormons, I understand, believe that Jesus is a God, but they believe that many humans can also become gods, just like him. Some Jehovah's Witnesses are taught that Jesus was once the archangel Michael and never God in the flesh. Some agnostics usually don't know what they believe about Jesus. And there are many others on no particular calling who say Jesus is just a great teacher with some good ideas about loving and helping others. And sadly, there are more people, some are members of family members of church members and friends of mine who are atheists and don't have any beliefs about Jesus or God and reject any knowledge or teaching of him. What also I believe is very concerning is that there are a lot of people, some churchgoers, that use the names of Jesus and God as swear words. You can often hear the OMG phrase used, or Jesus' name being shouted out when people see or hear something strange. This, I believe, is something that we all need to be very wary of. As James teaches, we need to be careful of what we say. He warns us in the epistle reading today about the power of our tongues. We need, as Lynn said earlier, to be guarded in our speech. The challenges that Mark's gospel sets and James is teaching us is that we have to be careful of what we say and how we answer that market research question and Jesus declared to his disciples when he asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" The good news is that, as John states in his gospel, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we will inherit eternal life. A wonderful, wonderful promise. My concept and understanding of Jesus is has changed and grown over the years. I'm now getting into my 70s, and from my early youth as church, we learn more and we gain different understandings, and life experiences change our understandings. I struggle with the thought of Jesus as a friend. I understand what it means, but I'm someone who grew up having very few friends. I was a loner as a youngster, probably still am. Had no friends at school. Because of a genetic condition I had and still have, I've got poor coordination. I can't run. So I was no good at sport. I just watched the others playing football and often chased a ball of, passed the ball back to someone, but I wasn't taking part in anything. When we went to the sports ground in PE and teams were picked, I was always last to be picked. And so the team that had to take me said, "We don't want him on the team." So give him to the other team, he's a liability. Words can hurt. As we said earlier, people just didn't understand the effect that would have for on my life all the time, the rejection. And not being wanted. I say Jesus is more being the gate, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus teaches us that he is the way to God the Father, We pray to God the Father through Jesus that the Holy Spirit will come and help us of those who we are praying for. You know, it's one of my prayers when I'm praying it. If I'm involved in healing ministry, which I am sometimes, and ask to pray for someone, I pray to God the Father through Jesus that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to come upon whoever it is I'm praying for. So my message this morning is, if you are struggling to answer the question, who do you say that I am? Remember that Jesus loved us enough to become one of us. He loved us enough to serve us. He loves us enough to suffer and die for us, taking all of our sins and our insurities upon himself on the cross. And as Paul wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we have these words. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Is that not something to give thanks and praise for every day? Amen. We come now to a time of our prayers of intercession, where we lift to the Lord our concerns for our world, our churches, and ourselves. As is my custom, there will be a time during these prayers to offer, spoken or unspoken, the concerns on our own hearts. Let us pray. Almighty Father God, we continue to pray for all those whose lives have been affected by the global COVID pandemic. We pray for your protection as some of the government restrictions are being lifted. And we pray for healing and restoration for those who are suffering in any way. Loving Heavenly Father, we are living in a world where many are troubled, hungry, and homeless. We pray for all those who've had to flee their homes in Afghanistan and those who've had to stay behind, who are not able to get out of that country at risk of retribution from the Taliban forces now in control there. We pray, Lord, that we may find comfort in your love. And we pray for our fellow brothers and sister Christians throughout other parts of the world who are persecuted, some being killed because of their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray for agencies like Open Doors, Barnabas Fund, and many of us working to bring comfort and support, often at risk of their own lives, to those who are persecuted for their faiths. We pray for those whose lives have been devastated by the recent fires, floods, and other natural disasters within our world. We pray, Lord, and give thanks for agencies like Save the Children, Christian Aid, and many others working to bring comfort to those who lives have been disrupted. And we pray for our own churches and our circuit and the connection, Lord. We pray for those who are leaving our churches due to the decisions that have been made recently at annual conference. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide them in any plan they may have for their futures, Lord. We pray that you will lead them. We pray for our ministry team, my fellow local preachers, our worship leaders, and our junior church and youth organization leaders, as our churches reopen to, and our services continue, and other activities go on, Lord, under the guideline and restrictions. We pray, Lord, for comfort and encouragement from your Holy Spirit, Lord, and protection. We pray especially for the congregation and the community here at Dettenburn in this part of Newcastle as we try to return to a sense of normality. We pray for all those who are unable to worship with us for whatever reason it restricts them, Lord, that you will be with them. And we lift to the Lord the concerns of others on our own hearts. Finally, Father, we pray for ourselves and ask that you will minister to us, reaching down into the deepest points of need and fill them with your healing, wonderful, powerful wholeness, Lord, that only you can provide for us. We bring these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And I say, my closing hymn is that wonderful description of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Singing of Faith 531. As we go out into the world after spending a special time with the Lord Jesus, may we be aware of his presence with us wherever he sends us. Let us be prepared to meet him in our friends and neighbours and share with them the Christian hope we have found in him. In the name of God, the Creator, Son and Holy Spirit, send us out with your holy blessing to live our lives for you. Amen.